You're listening to Archer Radio. This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queer cast on the internet. Today is... what is today? Wednesday, February 22nd, 2006. Today's George Washington's birthday. Happy birthday, George Washington. I've got... you know what? Today, this is the 170th show. So, yay, whatever. You know who... speaking of shows... you know who is back on the podcasting network or podcasting now is Mr. Poos. You might remember a week or so ago I had a show with Mr. Poos and he revealed that he was going to try to come back to podcasting. And sure enough, he's back. I think he's gotten like two or three shows back now. So welcome back, Mr. Poos. And of course, I'm listening to you every day now. So thank you very much for coming back. Oh, excuse me, I just burped. And speaking of podcasting, not that I'm going to keep on podcasting, but there were a couple things I wanted to mention about podcasting. And this is Wanda Wisdom's anniversary week. She's been podcasting for a year now, and she's having special shows every day this week. So check those out. And congratulations, Miss Wisdom. Happy anniversary. You know, speaking of... more a podcast. I can't think of what I wanted to say. I have discovered a new podcast. Well, it's not new, but it's new to me. But I've heard about it several times on the Little Fatty Cast. And it is J. Michael Haas' Daily Purge. I don't know if you've listened to the Daily Purge, but it's a very cool show. He usually starts out by telling a story at the beginning of the show. And then he plays a song. And then he has some conversation with... his guest, Rob Lindley, usually. But then he usually does like karaoke singing at the end or another song at the end. And it's really a cool show. On today's show, he had on Big Fatty from the Little Fatty Cast, I guess because Rob Lindley was busy doing other things. Anyway, and so anyway, that's a really good show. You should listen to that if you haven't listened to The Daily Purge. I'm listening to it now all the time. Well, anytime he posts a new show. So I'm listening to that. What else did I want to say? Oh, speaking of Little Fatty Cast, next week they are looking for co-hosts for Larry and or for Big Fatty because Big Fatty's going away and Larry needs a co-host. And he mentioned on today's show that he hasn't heard from me. And he wants to know if Archer would be a co-host. But the thing is, you have to act like you're Big Fatty. And I don't know that I could get all of Big Fatty's mannerisms down, you know, like the ham map or the all those weird sounds he makes. I don't know if I could do all those things, but I just emailed him and told him that I'd be more than happy to do it. I'd be honored, but I'm not sure I can act like Big Fatty. So we'll see if he comes back with a response saying you don't have to be Big Fatty. I don't know. We'll see. Other things that are going on this week, I mentioned on the podcast earlier this week that I hurt my thumb somehow, that I thought the boyfriend had done something to me and hurt my thumb. Well, I think doing some, you know, self-diagnosis and research on the internet, on the internets, or on the interwebs, whatever, I have come to diagnose myself as being bitten by a spider, because I have a small mark on the large joint of my thumb, my left thumb, and it's a red mark. It's not really, it doesn't look like a bite mark, it's just more like a red bruise kind of like. But anyway, so I told you that I woke up Sunday with my thumb absolutely killing me and all kinds of pain, and I couldn't move my thumb. Well, today is Wednesday, and I'm telling you, this has lasted now for, well, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 4 days. Well, around noon today, I started to, like, the numbness was actually starting to go away. It almost felt like, you know, when you go to the dentist and you have a cavity filled and you get Novocaine and then the numbness wears off in a couple hours? Well, that was a weird sensation I got in my thumb that it just kind of all of a sudden started going away. So now I can move my thumb, you know, it's almost 100% back to normal, but I do feel a little bit of pain in the actual joint of my thumb. Excuse me. Oh, I hate when I do that. You know, and I burped on the shows with the boyfriend the other day, and no one mentioned that, and people hate that, so I wonder if they're not listening or they don't care anymore. Anyway, I was talking about the thumb. Well, on Monday evening, I couldn't even move. I couldn't even button my shirt. I couldn't undo my pants. I couldn't do anything. It was just so painful to move my thumb. That's when I did my little research on the internet, and I had all of the symptoms of a spider bite. Numbness, swelling, painful joints, all that kind of stuff. And it said on the information that I found that there's really nothing you can do for it unless you've been bitten by a poisonous spider like a brown recluse or a black widow. And the information said that 10 to 1, you'd have all kinds of other things like shortness of breath and nausea and all this stuff. Well, I didn't have any of that stuff. I just had the basic symptoms of a spider bite. So I just went on that information and decided I was not going to go to the doctor because, you know, my history with the doctor, I go there and they tell me there's nothing wrong with me pretty much. So I didn't want to waste an office visit to the doctor. So it was just a matter of time letting it go away. And sure enough, right now, Wednesday evening, it has gone away and I have no more pain. Well, there's a little pain, but the swelling is gone and I have 100% movement of my thumb. So I'll be able to button my pants and button my shirt tomorrow when I go to work. So that was the history or the drama with the thumb. I hope I never get bitten by a spider again. On Monday, the boyfriend and I, as part of our anniversary weekend, as you were hearing on other podcasts, we had an anniversary weekend. On Monday, we decided to go to a movie. Well, we wanted to see, I keep saying again, we wanted to see Capote. But it was not playing at an early enough time. We wanted to go to a matinee so that we could get our own personal stuff done in the evening. So we could not see Capote. So we decided we wanted to go see Walk the Line with Reese Witherspoon and... God, I hate when I do that. Reese Witherspoon and Joaquin Phoenix. And let me tell you, if you have not seen that movie, you need to see it because it's an Oscar. It's Oscar-nominated film. I think... Reese Witherspoon was nominated. You know, I'm not really sure. Let's go to Oscars.com and see for sure. www.oscars.com and just see who the nominees are, because I know for sure that it was nominated, but I'm not sure if it was nominated for Best Film or what. So let's see. A printable ballot. I didn't know they did that yet. We can download the PDF. Yeah, I think I did this last year. But anyway, so we went to see this movie, Walk the Line, which is the basically the early life story of Johnny Cash and, what's her name? Carter, June Carter Cash. Well, June Carter. Let's see. I'm to the nominees for the Oscars. And let's see. Leading actor? No. So Joaquin Phoenix did not get nominated. How about Reese Witherspoon? Yes, for leading actress or actress in a leading role, Reese Witherspoon for Walk the Line. And she did such a good job. You know, they said that she did all the her own singing. And I totally believe it because you can kind of tell her voice is in there. But it's certainly, she's an amazing singer for all those songs that she had sing. And they sang so many songs. Very, very good job. Well done, Reese Witherspoon. And although I didn't see these other movies, so I can't say that I hope she wins, but I hope she does. I know I only have 2 weeks to see any more movies because we really wanted to see Capote, but we didn't. Anyway, so we saw this movie, and it is an unbelievable movie. It's very good. The singing is unbelievable. And they actually did a really good chunk of their lives. It was basically the first... I guess 10 years of their life, 10, 15 years of their lives, maybe. Not the first years of their lives, but of their lives together and how they met and how they went through divorces and how they got together and all this stuff. And it was really good. I thought it was really good. So if you haven't seen Walk the Line, you should. It was a really good movie. You know, and speaking of the anniversary stuff, I want to thank all the people who sent anniversary wishes on the website. I should go to the website and see who did, because I had all those. Let's see. On Monday's show, we had 5 comments. Thank you from Andrew of I Say. Lee in Pikesville, Maryland. John Q. Actually, John Q has left a couple of comments about different things. He was hoping for an anniversary on-air kiss, but of course we didn't do that. But John, know that we did kiss. So, and then from Chaz and from Bert, all sending us well wishes for our one-year anniversary. So thank you all very much. And speaking of comments, I know that John Q has left several about the videos last week. He left one on the Left in the Car video. He left one. Where's the other one? On the Morning Inches one. He thought that was inappropriately named because I was teasing them. So, yeah. Anyway, and then we got some comments from Special Delivery Mark and some others. So thank you all for the well wishes for the anniversary weekend. Our boyfriend and I having our one-year anniversary. That was very sweet of you all to leave those comments. Speaking of Special Delivery Mark, see, I just keep jumping around here. Shouldn't do that. But Special Delivery Mark, as you remember, we sent him a bottle of wine, the Prince Michel Cabernet Sauvignon. And he sent back a little, like a mini podcast for me to include in the show about his impressions of the wine. And he begins the clip by talking about the weather, because on the day that he was doing this, there was some bad weather in Virginia, but it wasn't anywhere near us. It was about 2 hours away. So take a minute and listen to this clip from Special Delivery Mark about the wine that we sent him.
Hey, Archer, this is Mark of Special Delivery. How you doing? I see that on the news, I-64 is having quite a problem today. Looks like there's been over 100 accidents in less than 1 inch of snow. Sounds like you got the weather that we had here in California over the weekend, which is why I'm calling in today. Over the weekend, I was able to try the Prince Michel Cabernet Sauvignon that you and W sent me. And it was very enjoyable. So I'd like to share my little experience about that wine. On Friday night, I got drunk as a skunk on my local witch's brew that I brew at home. And that was just because I was having a sad weekend. So Saturday night, I decided to try the Prince Michel. And it was a very, very cold evening, and it started snowing. I was able to go dance out in the snowflakes with the warm buzz that I got off of that Prince Michel. And I don't really have many tasting notes written down, but I seem to remember it had a very plummy nose, very plum, and there was a kind of a citrus in the background. And I was expecting a big, fat, heavy cab like we have out here in California, but it was very medium and pleasant, kind of dry. But it didn't hang in my mouth like some of the cabs I've tried out here in California. The kind that just coat the inside of your mouth and leave you reaching for crackers or something to scrape the tannins off the roof of your mouth. Now, this Prince Michel's Cabernet Sauvignon was very nice. And then I came inside and played on the computer a while. And as I was sipping it by itself, oh, I didn't tell you what I ate with it, did I? You're going to turn your nose up, even though it wasn't vegetables. Yeah, I did a little lamb, a little grilled lamb with some olive oil and a little curry pepper. I know that sounds gross, and it wasn't the ideal choice to go with the wine, let me tell you. What went really well was the cheese that I had, which was a hard goat cheese, the consistency of a Parmesan. So I just sliced thin layers of that cheese in between sips of wine, and it was wonderful. So, that's the Prince Michel Cabernet Wine Report from here in California. Take care.
So, thank you, Special Delivery Mark, for those comments about the wine. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Sounds like you did enjoy it, or, you know, enjoyed some others with it. But other drinking things with it. But thank you very much. Speaking of drinking, you know, I got an email from Henry over at the Chosen Thought podcast. I'm not sure if anybody listens to him that listens to me, but now where is that? I totally can't find that email now. Let me do a search. Yeah. Oh, actually, he sent us a card, too. I think it was him. Let me click on this to see. Yeah, he sent us a card. Oh, my goodness. I click here to start. Ooh, click. Oh, isn't that sweet? On the 12th. Oh, no, that's not what I'm looking for. Where is it? Anyway, Henry of Chosen Thought sent us a, sent me an email talking about gays and drinking. And, now where the fuck is it? Oh, that just pisses me off. Anyway, he suggested that we, because we talk about drinking a lot, we talk about drinking wines and stuff, and he said it's interesting how many gay podcasts always bring up the issue of drinking, whether it be wine or alcohol or beer or whatever, and he thought it was interesting that so many podcasts, you know, talk about drinking, and he thought it was interesting or good of us to try to separate our wine drinking from regular everyday, you know, everyday podcasts. So, God, I'm trying to find this email. This is so stupid. I'm getting totally sidetracked by not knowing this, where this email is. God damn it. I usually keep that stuff and I can't find it. Oh, well, screw it. Anyway, so he sent us this email all about drinking and commended us on being able to separate. Well, I know that for the most part, we do podcasts and we're not actually drinking or talking about drinking. We do talk about other things, but it does seem that we have had shows where we've been tipsy and talking about wine. But we do talk about wine a lot because wine is one of our interests and our hobbies, and we have no problem talking about it. So, yeah. And he also talked about how he asked how if we want to share how we solve conflicts in our relationship. Well, as I wrote back to him and told him that, interestingly enough, the boyfriend and I have only had two conflicts in the time that we've been together, so we don't really know how we would deal with it. We basically just talk it out. And I know I mentioned to John Ong once that we were not going to talk about relationship issues on the show because this is not about our relationship. It's just my daily stuff, even though that's part of it. So just to answer his email, we just talk things out, and we've had so few issues in the year that we've been together that it has not been an issue. So that's that. Now, another thing happened in a blog friend of mine who has had an issue with his with people commenting on his blog. It turns out that like a year ago, somebody commented on his blog and used the name of somebody else. Well, that somebody else complained to the blog and said, please remove this information from the blog because, you know, it's my name is now associated with these, with being gay, I guess, is really what the issue was. And when you did a Google search for his name, the comment in the on the guy's blog was showing up as one of the top things in the Google search on this guy's name, and he did not want to be associated with anything gay. Well, you know, I think that's kind of like, I want to say it's like an internet terrorism that you can, you know, how do you know? Because, you know, you can leave comments on people's blogs and stuff anonymously or with a fake name, depending on the commenting system you're using. But definitely one thing that is associated with it, even though it might not be your name, the IP address is attached to your name. So you can certainly be identified that way. So anyway, this person who has the blog decided he would delete the guy's name but not the comment because the guy was like threatening him with a lawyer saying, if I'll be contacting my lawyer if you don't remove my name from your blog. Well, I don't know that he can really do anything because it's free speech. And plus, the guy who has the blog can show that it's a comment and that he didn't have anything to do with it. People can leave comments that it's not him, but I guess it's his content. But that's the whole point of free speech, is that you can put anything up there you want. Pretty much, I should say. So I don't know if there's just like a whole issue with internet terrorism and people using other people's names and stuff. I don't know if anybody else has encountered that kind of thing, but it's a little scary. So I don't know about that. So surely by now you have heard the story about the sale of like 6 ports to a United Arab Emirates company. Now, what the fuck is that about? I can't believe that that we would be selling. I know. I guess what they're doing is they're going to sell the business part, or you know, have them manage it, or you know, run the ports. Is that not a crazy idea? If we're having all these problems with you know, countries over in the Middle East and wars and all this stuff, why would you put the port operations in the hands of an Arab country? I don't really understand their thinking behind that. And they, you know, it says the selling it for $6.8 billion, it says, I'm reading this article, it says, this is actually a new article. This is about Bush not knowing anything about it. Oh my God, it says, President Bush wasn't aware of the sale of 6 U.S. ports to an Arab country until after federal approval was granted and congressional opposition erupted over the deal. Scott McClellan of the White House said, said that Bush became aware only in the last several days of the controversial $6.8 billion sale of Britain's Peninsular and Oriental Steam Navigation Company, commonly known as P&O, to DP World, which is a state-owned company in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. He said that after he found out, Bush checked with his cabinet secretaries to see if there were concerns. Each and every one expressed that they were comfortable with this transaction going forward, McClellan said. President Bush Tuesday strongly defended DP World's attempt to take over the operation of seaports in Baltimore and 5 other U.S. cities and threatened to veto if Congress tries to kill the deal his administration has blessed. This is crazy. I'm not reading the article. I think that's crazy to give the operation of 6 ports over to an Arab country if it's the Middle East people that we're having these problems with. I mean, that's like letting the fox guard the hen house, isn't it? It's crazy. And I say that a lot. So why isn't there more outrage about this? And to find out that Bush didn't even know about it until all this stuff was done is kind of crazy. What the fuck is going on in the world? I tell you, that's just fucked. That's crazy, fucked up shit. And I'm sure there'll be something on the news about it tonight. Actually, I might even just have to grab a clip and put it in here. I think that's what I'll do.
The other big story we're following today is the growing rebellion over plans to let a Dubai company take over the management of port terminals in 6 American cities. The president appears to have been blindsided by the heated reaction. ABC's Martha Raddatz joins us now from Washington with more on that story. Martha?
Elizabeth, the White House acknowledged today that the president just found out about this port deal a few days ago, well after it was signed.
The White House did not explain why the president was not informed earlier, saying only that the furor over the port deal prompted Mr. Bush to take a closer look.
One thing the president did was go back to every cabinet member whose department is involved in this process and ask them, are you comfortable with this transaction going forward? And each and every one expressed that they were comfortable with this transaction going forward.
But today, the criticism continued with the president's own party in the lead.
I have some real concerns about it. Concerns that want to make sure that there are sufficient controls in place to make sure that this is not going to be a security problem at the ports.
Our national security, frankly, is too critical to allow decisions of this magnitude to be made without including Congress in this process.
The administration also acknowledged today that Congress should have been briefed on the issue, but continued to insist that the Dubai deal does not pose a security threat.
As the president said, we shouldn't want to turn down a deal of this kind just because it happens to originate in the Middle East.
That argument may not be playing well in this country, but it will almost certainly aid the White House in its troubled efforts to win hearts and minds in the Arab world.
I think if the president actually goes through with the deal, it'll probably help him a little bit in Arab and Muslim countries.
But some members of Congress say they will still try and block the deal, Elizabeth. But the president says he will veto any legislation that tries to do that.
Holding firm as he continues to. All right, Martha Raddatz, thanks so much. There's been a lot of noise over this deal with politicians raising the alarms at all sorts of levels, Diane.
So true, Elizabeth, which brought us back to the facts. We wondered, what would a takeover by the Dubai company really mean in the day-to-day operations of six American ports? Pierre Thomas covers national security for this broadcast, but we asked him to spend some time in one of those ports, the Port of Baltimore, to bring us in concrete detail what happens when a ship carrying cargo arrives in U.S. waters.
Port security actually begins 3 to 12 miles out at sea. That's where the Coast Guard makes the first contact with all cargo ships heading to U.S. ports.
They can board any ship as it enters into the U.S. territorial waters.
Once the ship reaches port, U.S. Customs takes over. Agents using computers scan the ship's manifest, trying to determine if any of the ship's containers might be of high risk.
While the ship is still overseas, 24 hours prior to loading the cargo on board, they send us the electronic manifest information, which is the contents of the container, who it's being shipped from, who it's being shipped to.
Only 5 to 7% of all cargo is physically screened. Some of it is x-rayed for indications of conventional weapons, drugs, or other contraband. Others may be subjected to portable radiation detectors, which look for evidence of a nuclear device. It's only after customs has cleared the cargo that the port operator, like Dubai Ports World, begins to unload the thousands of containers. The primary responsibility of the company that operates the port is to unload the thousands of containers coming in from overseas. Employees hired by the companies are union and will not likely change should the deal with the Dubai company go forward. The company does background checks on all employees. Some security analysts say the new company poses no major security risk.
I don't think that there is a qualitative change in the risk related to port security because of this particular deal. I think, though, there's a very big issue with port security that we have to confront as a nation and as a global community that's still largely undressed.
If the deal goes forward as scheduled, the new company will take over this port and others as early as next week. But dying with the political firestorm, that's a big if.
Sure is. Thanks, Pierre. And by the way, in researching this story, we came across a report by ABC anchor Peter Jennings, who filed an extensive look at what happens behind the scenes at the great port of Miami. And if you want to find out how a facility like this is secured, check in with Peter's report on Broadcast Plus section of our website at wnt.abcnews.com.
So that was an interesting news piece about the whole port issue, it's good to hear that the Republicans are even upset about it too. That's interesting. I hope something's done about it. But of course, Bush said that he would veto any kind of legislation that came through. But then also listening to the piece makes me think that maybe we don't have to worry about the security, because all these people say that really nothing major is going to change except for the company who does the work. That all the people are going to be the same, all the activities that they do at the ports are the same. So maybe it's not as big a deal as I originally thought. However, what does still concern me is that they did say in that piece that only 5 to 7% of all the containers that come into the United States are searched. And that's awfully small. So that means a lot of shit's getting through that could possibly be, terrorist related, or even just, bad shit. I don't know, just... So it sounds like the controversy is not over, and there's plenty more debate to happen, and I'm sure we have not heard the end of it. But Bush should have known about it ahead of time, I think. Anyway, I think I'm going to wrap this up because this is going a bit long. Sorry that piece from the news was a bit long, but it was well worth it to hear that kind of stuff. So anyway, hope you enjoyed the show. I know I rattled on about a lot of stuff. And tomorrow, I'm not sure if I'll have a show tomorrow or not. We'll see what I come up with. So thanks for listening. Thanks for all the comments and all the emails. I hope I mentioned everybody who commented. Oh, and we did get one more listener on the Frapper map, although I did notice that it has really gotten really slowed down on the Frapper map. The only other person who joined, what is his name? Brian from Port Richey, Florida. Thank you, Brian from Port Richey, Florida. There, nobody else is new since the last time I checked, so I guess the old Frapper map frenzy has slowed down. We now have 38 people on the Frapper map. And if you're not on the Frapper map and you'd like to be, go to archerradio.com and click on the Frapper icon at the top of the page, and you can put yourself on the map. So, have a great Thursday. Until next time, boys and girls.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.